Revelation 4:8-11, and the four living creatures, and the 24 elders sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll, and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Revelation 5:9-10, and Ivy, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Revelation 5:11-14, all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, 12, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor and power, and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Revelation 7:11-12, and the 24 elders, and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. Alleluia." Then a voice came from the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Revelation 19:4-6. Other duties of the living creatures are also described in Revelation. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5:8. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come, and see." Revelation 6:1. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Revelation 15:6-8, I saw an innumerable multitude of angels as they began to worship the Lord. I heard and experienced the unforgettable scene as the elders around the throne joined and I, too, joined in worshiping the King, as I thought, "Oh, how glorious to see the power of Almighty God. The glories of heaven when Jesus Christ revealed heaven to me, I was taken there for 10 visits, by the power of God Almighty. It happened immediately after the time he showed me hell." The divine visits began during the Easter season. Jesus appeared to me from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every night for 30 nights, showing me the destination of those who reject him. Before I saw heaven, he took me into the center of the earth, and showed me the abode of the dead. I wrote a divine revelation of hell, in which I related my experiences in hell. After those 30 trips into the depths of horror, for 10 nights Jesus showed me heaven, and its glories. Additionally, there were many other visitations from the Lord. This is a true account of what happened to me. The Spirit of the living God revealed to me everything I am telling you. When Jesus Christ took me on these journeys, I was fascinated because in heaven, there is no sorrow, no death, no dying, and no grief. In heaven only joy, peace, happiness, and the fruits of the Spirit are everywhere. I was also fascinated by the angels of God, who were there by the thousands. Some had wings, some didn't. I noticed on every one of my journeys to heaven, that the angels were always busy. The angels performed tasks, and took care of details constantly. It seemed to me that each angel had his particular assignments, and certain jobs to do. But all of them were always praising God, and performing their duties happily as they went about their business, all of the angels are constantly occupied with their duties. For example, when new souls come to heaven, angels meet them and lead them immediately through the river of life. The angels escort the new souls to a place where other angels outfit them with gowns of salvation, which are robes of righteousness. Then the angelic guides take them to the room of crowns, where each person is fitted with a crown. All of these things are done in beautiful, perfect order. The angels are perfectly happy while doing them. I never saw bells in heaven, but I heard them ringing constantly. I was told that every time a bell rings, a soul on earth was just saved. This is called the glories of heaven. Heavenly furnishings. I noticed that all during my trips to heaven, I saw beautiful tables. I don't know how to describe them adequately. Sometimes on earth I have seen Victorian or some other style of furniture with elaborate designs on the pieces. You have probably seen such beautiful pieces, like a table against the side of a wall, as you walk by, or a table with a vase or book on it. Well, in heaven I saw tables like these everywhere, except they were even more exquisitely designed and made. There were also books everywhere, as well as many other things. Heavenly recording saints, be aware that every time you give money, every time you pay tithes, everything you do for the glory of God is recorded in heaven. I remember this so well, because when the Lord showed me His mighty glories and powers, it made an impression that will never be erased from my mind. During my trips, I noticed that many angels came to heaven with reports from all over the earth. They would go to a certain room with the recording angel in charge. The messenger angel would read the report, and the recording angel would ask, "Are you a witness? Did you see this take place?" When the report was confirmed, it was logged in a book. These books were eventually taken to the throne of God. But first, they had to go through a special process. I vividly remember that the Spirit of the Lord moved continuously in heaven. It was greater than anything on earth. Things on earth are patterned after things in heaven, but the earthly things can only be shadowy reflections of those in heaven. Unbelievable music, unhindered praises, and other glories that the earth can never imagine abound in heaven. God wants people to praise Him. From the opening of Genesis to the close of Revelation, God expressed His desire for a family to love Him. As you read this book, remember that heaven is a place God has prepared for those who love Him. Someday I am going there. Someday you are going there if you are born again, if you have repented of your sins, and if you have Jesus Christ in your heart. He can wash your sins away through His precious blood. Let me tell you of the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of Jesus. The cleansing blood. Earlier, I described the record rooms, but now I want to depict another aspect. A number of angels sat in a certain section of the record rooms. They had golden buckets in front of them. This is also a part of the glories of heaven. In front of the angels were stacks of books. Some of the markers in the books seemed to be messages from earth. Each message had to be examined by a large recording angel. I saw two other angels who brought messages from earth. There was a new message every time someone was born again, having been truly saved from his sins by accepting Jesus Christ into his heart. When someone truly repented of his sins and asked Jesus to be his Savior and Lord, it was recorded that the person had given his life to the Lord. The angels with the golden buckets each took a book from the stack. Each angel held in his hands what looked like a blood-stained cloth. The red cloth was mixed with glory, light, and power. It was not gory or anything like that, it was beautiful. Each angel positioned the selected book in front of him, and, starting at the first page, he expunged the written record with a blood-stained cloth. With God's direction, the angel erased the old history of the sinner and recorded that he or she had just been born again. I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 43:25. Children, the word of God is true. God truly forgives our sins. It was so beautiful to see the angels washing the pages. Hallelujah, God wipes the slate clean for each of us. As I saw this glorious thing, I heard the saints in glory sing, "Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash my sins away. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole today." Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus can cleanse me today. And then I heard the angel singing this song, another one's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Another one's been saved from the devil's hand by the blood of the Lamb. Another one's been saved from hell by the blood of Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed to call upon the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed almost 2,000 years ago to wash away our sins, and it has never lost its power since then. Jesus conquered the devil once for all when he offered up himself, Hebrews 7:27, and went to the cross for us. Christ came down from glory. He was born of a virgin. He gave his life in order that we could be redeemed by his precious blood. He did this so that we would not have to go to hell, the awful place he showed to me. Dear friends, the gospel is true. How I rejoiced when I saw the angels washing away all of the old history from the stacks of books. They erased all the old past, all the old sins, all the dirty things. All the old things were gone, the blood of Jesus eradicated them all. Altars of God, I love the altars of God. When I go to a spirit-filled church that has a beautiful altar, I know that many tears have been shed there. In the Old Testament, God repeatedly commanded his people to go in and tear down the old heathen altars. Here is one example, and you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods, and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Deuteronomy 12:3-4. God's people were to get rid of the sinful altars that did not give praise to him. They were to remove the altars that did not honor or reverence him, and then they were to build and keep altars only for his worship. Here is an example of those instructions. Only Jesus can do this for you. You cannot do it yourself. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to take you your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. 26. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock, in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. Judges 6:25-26. Today's altars, when I preach in services across the country, I think of the altars of God. When we come to the front altar of the church and pour out our hearts to God, we are not ashamed of him. A dedicated altar is one place where we can be in the presence of God, where we can call on him and confess our sins, asking him to forgive us. Many of us feel his awesome presence there. We can know he answers our prayers. At times we can feel his arms around us. There is something wonderful about the altars, the old-fashioned altars of God, in churches. There you can go and kneel and just worship the Lord. You can praise God at home, too. You can do it in your car. You can praise him anywhere. However, let me tell you something. The altar is a definite place for an appointment to commune with him intimately. When the Old Testament prophets made altars to God, they cried out and repented to God for the sins of the people as well as for their own sins. At the altar they repented and offered blood sacrifices on behalf of the people, and God accepted their sacrifices. Since Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for our sins through his shed blood, we no longer need to offer sacrifices. However, we still need to repent when we are convicted of sin, and one of the best places to do that is at an altar. When we see a dedicated church altar, we should kneel at it and pray to God, if it is possible. It means so much to have an altar. We need one in our homes so we can talk to God and have a place just to be with him. When I preach, I always tell the people, don't be ashamed to come to this altar. Here God will meet you. Yes, he can meet you in your seat. Nevertheless, there is something about a sanctified and often used altar where you can humble yourself, raise your hands, and say, God, here I am. Take me, use me for your glory. Worship him sincerely. You need to mean what you pray with all your heart. God is looking for people to love him and to praise him. God is looking for people who will turn from their wicked ways and come back to him. He is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth.